Hi, my name is Joe McFarlane, and the Fixed Point Library is something that I've been working on with the aim of having fixed point numerics, fixed point arithmetic, standardized. And I'm going to assume a certain sort of level of knowledge about the subject matter, and hopefully, if you don't know what fixed point is, does anybody not know what fixed point arithmetic is? Okay. Well, I'll typically use the example of a 16-bit number. The notation there, U88, is one of many arbitrary different notations used to describe fixed point types. And the illustration here shows that the unsigned 88 fixed point type has 8 integer digits and then 8 fractional digits. It's stored in a short value, an unsigned 16-bit value under the hood. However, it's used to represent numbers that are real, that have a fractional component. Okay, so the reason for fixed point, if you were in the SG14 talk earlier, you will recognize the graphic in the middle here. These are examples of, these illustrate what happens when you use floating point to represent numbers. On the left there, you see a distribution of the different values that a simple floating point type can represent. And as you see, there's a lot of detail at the origin, but as numbers increase, you have lower granularity, and you have trouble representing values to the same degree of accuracy. So typically, when you're representing space, like 2D coordinates on a map, particularly in simulations, you will see in the center there, you have a lot of detail near the center of the map, but as you head out toward away from the origin, wherever you've chosen for your origin, you start to hit some often serious problems because the gaps between each position and the next are growing. Your accuracy is being reduced, and a celebrated example of that is in a popular game called Minecraft, and we're seeing here 4 totally different areas of a map generated in Minecraft. And it's showing how the procedural generation of this map has gone really badly wrong far away from the origin. At the top, you have a part of the map that's near the origin, and it looks beautiful. We have some coastline and some forest areas there. But as you head in far along the x-axis or the y-axis, longitude or latitude, eventually you get artifacts. You get the model breaks down. And so here you just get nothing's working because floating point has these limitations, and so that's one of the primary incentives for me to work on standardizing fixed point so that we can use that as an alternative to floating point to represent real numbers in a convenient way. But there are a number of other advantages that fixed point has, in particular. The amount of silicon necessary to represent fixed point, it's pretty much what the same requirements you'd use for integer, whereas floating point is a fair bit more complex, particularly if you want it to be IEEE 754 standard. Okay. All right, so this is a really... just imagine this is my first attempt at fixed point. What you see here is... kind of a typical approach to fixed point using sort of quite low level language constructs. It's almost C. I mean, the const expr there kind of gives away the fact that it is not. With our example where we have this U88 fixed point type, converting between the fixed point type and the floating point is just a matter of scaling by the necessary amount, because there are 8 bits devoted to fraction. It means that the whole number is representing a value 256 times smaller than the actual integer that's storing it. And so you see there when you flip from float to this fixed point format, it's just a matter of scaling up. You can use a bit shift operator if you want, but that it's not necessary. And in fact, when I talk about fixed point, I'm really talking about binary fixed point, but indeed you can have decimal fixed point or hexadecimal fixed point. It's merely the case that most interest is with binary fixed point, because binary is what machines use to begin with. And there is actually quite a bit of interest in representing decimal fixed point, particularly in the financial sector, where they want to represent monetary values with sort of precision characteristics that you don't necessarily get with floating point numbers. Okay, so we have the conversion here. It takes you from fixed back to float. And then we have some arithmetic here. We have add and multiply, pretty necessary operations. And one of the really nice things about fixed point numbers is that when you add two fixed point numbers of the same type together, you just have to add them and the result is already totally correct. Just as if you'd added those integers together. However, multiply is a whole different kettle of fish, and already things are getting a little more complicated here. When you multiply two fixed point values together, where they both had 8 fractional digits to begin with, they now have 16 fractional digits. So in order to convert back to our type with only 8 fractional digits, here we have to divide by 256. And so right here, this is where things start to get complicated and where it might be nice if we could automate a lot of the work involved in representing fixed point values in this way to avoid various pitfalls. And so speaking of pitfalls, given what you just saw on that last slide, hopefully if you are presumably C++ programmers and you probably were thinking straight away, well, there's some ways I could do this better. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why the traditional hand-woven fixed-point arithmetic is not satisfactory. In particular, so if you forget that whether your value is an actual, you're just using it as an integer, or whether it's one of these implicitly scaled fixed point values, if you just forget that for one line, your math is off by a factor of 2 or more. And also, there's many. I've given the example, and I'll continue to give the example of this unsigned 8-8 type. It's a 16-bit type, but really any number of integer and fractional digits are possible. There's no reason to limit fixed point to any particular type. And with the multiply, straight away, it would be really nice if we had something we could where we could overload the arithmetic operations. And then there's a whole bunch of problems that I've found getting feedback from this work to do with overflow safety. It's quite easy to multiply it by too big a number and suddenly you have overflow or wraparound undefined behavior. And also there are a bunch of ways in which the results are losing information, particularly for instance if you convert from a floating point value to a fixed point value, and the floating point value is a high precision, you're going to lose some of that information. And the way that rounding happens is designed for speed. It's not designed for accuracy. So you don't get round to nearest behavior that you might want if you wanted the most accuracy possible. And so there's all these problems that people identify with fixed point. And the more that I've looked at this this library designed this solution, the more that I've realized that most of them are common to integer as well. And this has got me thinking about really what people's expectations are of fixed point and what a solution really should be providing. So really, most of this stuff, it's common to integers. And another thing that it's kind of obvious, but has become very apparent as I've gone on, is that integers are fixed point numbers. They just they're just U16 0 or whatever. They're fixed point numbers with no fractional digits, and that's all there is to them. So basically, we are already from C, we've inherited fixed point numbers, but in an incredibly limited range. So my current argument I'm trying to make is mine and other proposals are trying to progress towards standardization. I'm of the opinion that a fixed point is just one of a bunch of problems that we want to solve. And the best way to go about solving these problems is each in isolation. So fixed point, really, all it should really be doing is approximating real numbers using integers by scaling them by a fixed amount, and should not worry about all these other things such as rounding and undefined behavior and overflow, these kinds of things. And so I'm sort of come to the opinion that not just fixed point, but a bunch of other types should be defined. They should be literal class templates. And does everyone know what I mean by a literal class template? It's a type typically has liberal use of const expr, particularly in its constructors. And it can be used in places where traditionally integers and built-in types would be used. And they're incredibly useful, powerful types. I'll present some of the, here's some examples of some of the types that I think it would be worth pursuing and trying to provide for users. And so let's go through these. So a checked integer, this is, don't worry about the names. This is a type basically that it checks whether overflow has occurred and maybe throws an exception or terminates the program with an error, or somehow communicates to the program that an error has occurred and the value stored in that particular variable is no longer, should not be used. So a widening integer, it deals with the same problem. This is an interesting distinction. It seems two distinct ways to deal with overflow. One is to throw an error, but try and maintain types of the same width. And then another contrasting, very interesting strategy is to make sure that the result is always wide enough to contain the result of whatever operation is going on. So you saw an example of fixed point multiplication earlier on. And you find with fixed point, and indeed with any integers, that you get back a result that's twice the width of whatever went in. So if you multiply two 16-bit values together, you need 32 bits. And if the result is a 32-bit integer, you're guaranteed that you will not get overflow. And that's a pretty powerful guarantee to provide, because normally people just expect that they've got to be very careful that the integers that they use have the capacity necessary to perform the operations that they want. But it is a notoriously problematic, thank you, situation. And C and C++ have come under a lot of criticism recently for having many ways for errors to be introduced into programs. Rounded integers. Now, again, this may or may not be something that is best represented as a type. But imagine an integer type which, instead of using the same rounding rules that a built-in int or short or long use, imagine that it rounded to nearest rather than truncating the fractional part of a value. It rounded to the nearest whole number. You find that a lot of error is reduced with that kind of behavior. Also, when you when you divide integers or when you shift, you don't necessarily, again, get the sort of rounding behaviors that you want. And it's not even consistent how this happens. Sometimes the operation will cause truncation of the fractional part, and other times the number is rounded towards negative infinity. And this is often it's not a huge deal, but if you want as much accuracy as possible without having to think about it too much, it would be very desirable for there to be a type that acted like an integer but rounded in a way that was a bit more, if you like, mathematically correct. And okay, so finally, fixed point. This is a type which it's kind of like an integer, but it also has a fractional part. And there's a desire to have all of the properties of all these four types bundled together into some super type which solves these and possibly other problems. And I am of the opinion that it's probably better if they're broken up, decomposed into different problems. And the only question really is this possible in a way that is performant and that is zero cost, basically? That's a really important thing, I think. Okay. So, introducing the fixed point type. Well, it's a class template. You can see I have a paper that goes into detail on this type. And by the way, it's continually evolving the specification of this thing. So do come back. I'm planning to update it quite soon. So let's just jump to the usage here. Say you want we're going to take our 16-bit fixed point type, and we're going to turn it into this literal class.
Yeah. I have one question. Yeah. For the exponent, does that require a power of two argument, or is it?
Yes.
So it's a power of two that we're talking about.
It's a power of two. There's a lot of desire to have other bases, and I'm skipping over that for this talk, but certainly we could have power of 10, maybe a third parameter or a different template. But typically people are expecting a power of 2, a binary fixed point type. And actually this exponent it's pretty much the same value that you'd find in a floating point number. There are, in a 32-bit floating point number, there are typically 7 bits of exponent, and there's some quirks to, well, there's many, many quirks to the floating point, the standard floating point type, but essentially they have an exponent like this, which says how many bits to shift the value in order to shift the integer, the mantissa bit, in order to get the value that you're actually looking for. So here, because we want to represent values that are eight bits shifted down, they're 256 times smaller than the integer that's holding them. That's why we have the negative 8 here to say that's the value to shift down by in order to get the real value out. And now we can, even though this is a little long-winded, we can now, you know, here we have an alias to that type. So just a little aside here, I've mentioned multiplication before, and there's quite an interesting problem involved in how to perform arithmetic. As I mentioned, if you add two values together and they're the same fixed point type, it's a matter of just adding the integers together, and that's really great. That's nice and easy. But once you get to multiplication, and I'm not even going to get on to division, but multiplication has some problems because you need double the width in order to preserve all the bits from in the result. And typically with integers, say you've got you multiply two 32-bit integers together on a machine in which ints are 32 bits, and the value overflows, well, it just gets truncated, and people kind of they know about this, and it's something that we live with, for better or worse. However, if you're using a 32-bit integer to represent a number in the range 0 to 1, for instance, you truncate the higher bits of a value after you've multiplied two of these together, it's catastrophic. It won't fly. And so there is a conflict here about what is the best thing to do. What's the best strategy for multiplying and dividing fixed point numbers? And it is a really interesting thorny problem. And there's no super simple solution that's completely satisfactory to everybody. But down here, so widen. That's the approach I'm starting to head towards. I think. I think it's just inevitable that people will expect all the precision to be preserved when these arithmetic operations are performed. And actually, that's not all that different to what happens when you perform arithmetic with integer types. Currently, what happens, typically promotion occurs, and you find yourself with a result that is the size of an integer, no matter how wide the inputs were. So take for example, you multiply two char values together, 100 times 100. If they're signed chars, that you would have caused overflow. But always multiplying two chars together, the result, the chars are promoted to integer, full 32-bit integers, and then those values are multiplied together. And that's, people often don't realize that's what's happening all the time, because it typically fixes a lot of problems before they occur. But they're problems that can't really be avoided with fixed point, because, like I say, you're far more likely to be using the full 32 bits of your machine register to store the value. You're not just multiplying 100 and 100 and it's great because it fits within 2 billion. That's no longer the case. And this is quite a challenging problem to overcome. So I'm going to show you some of the things that I'm trying to get done with this fixed point type. And I'm going to rattle through these. You can find these, incidentally, if you go to the GitHub page that I mentioned at the top. There is these and many other examples are available to try and give you an idea of how these types behave. So here, this is some basic arithmetic going on. I've declared a type, declared a variable. It's an 8-bit unsigned fixed point type, and it's got four integer and four fractional digits. By the way, any feedback on this, if you think that -4 isn't a counterintuitive way to say that there are four fractional digits, that's certainly something that's come up before, and I'd be interested to hear what people think about this. But this value here completely saturates that 8 bits there. That's going to be represented by 250, the value 255 inside this class, inside this object. So what happens next? Well, we, in a really naive example, we multiply this value, well, we square this value and assign it right back to the original type, and overflow is going to occur here. We're going to lose an awful lot of information. We're going to lop off four high and four low bits. And this is where you start to miss floating point and realize just how useful how idiot-proof floating point is. Floating point is great, by the way. If you're happy with it, don't necessarily consider using fixed point ever. But C++ 11 makes it at least feasible. If you need fixed point, it's not going to be a complete nightmare to come up with an API that is usable and gets you what you expect. And here straight away, the auto keyword is very, very handy here. When we multiply these values together, it's not returning the same type that went in. It's it's producing a value, it's producing a type, a result in a type that's wide enough to store the result, and it's guaranteed that it's going to be wide enough, which is a pretty powerful thing. And so here, there's no overflow, there's no error. It's all good news. I've also provided some named functions. Multiply here does a similar thing. However, the widening is a lot less aggressive with multiply. So it just uses whatever the underlying promotion rules are for the type that you used. So up here, we said, hey, use unsigned int A. This is a standard integer type. It basically means unsigned char on most systems. And so you know right away this value will be, it's going to be unsigned, it's going to be 8-bit, and you can have some pretty, you can already know some, make some assumptions about the work that's going to be done under the hood. And I feel like this is quite a valuable, straight away, it's a valuable way to ask for a particular fixed point type. So I said we were going to break down all these different problems into different literal types and then combine them together. This is a rather extreme example of a... I don't know who's heard of the Boost Multi-Precision library, but it's a library that provides you with integer types of pretty much unlimited capacity. And in this case, I'm using a helper type here, make you fixed. It's a little bit like, you know, make pair or make tuple. But in this case, it makes an unsigned fixed point value. And it's this particular type that it's going to provide has it's 400 integer bits and 400 fractional bits. Now, this type here, you'll notice it's only a 128-bit type. But what I'm saying with this type is use this as the, I call this the archetype. So basically, take a type like this, widen it as necessary in order to come up with a type which can store numbers with this many digits in it. So what you get back is this type big number is now a fixed point type with 800 digits in it. And the beauty of this is I'm harnessing Boost Multi-Precision and getting to do all the work of storing absurdly large numbers. And then I'm just treating like any other built-in int. And I can use it to make a Google, which is a value which is 10 to raised to the 100. And I can invert that Google. I can invert it here. And I now have, I don't know if there's a word for a one divided by a Google, a Googlet.
One Google,
a Googleth. A Googleth, yes.
Googleth.
There you go. There was relatively little plumbing necessary to adapt Boost Multi-Precision to work with fixed point. And there's no need to stop there. I've been working on a type called elastic integer, which it would be the second of those four categories where you take, you say, hey, give me a 6-bit integer as the archetypal representational type. I want it to use int 8 to store this value 63. And then when I square my elastic integer type, what I get back is something that will widen by the correct number of bits. So say down here, I add these two values together. Okay, thanks. And it's grown by 1 bit, because when you add two integers together, you need one extra bit of precision. And this value, when combined with the elastic, with fixed point, gets you real numbers that grow as needed, pretty much up to whatever limit is provided by the elastic integer. And in this way, just to sum up, you can keep going with this kind of composition of types and tackle a lot of these problems. I've only just got started coming up with different types that that do these things. And another one is Robert's Safe Numeric Library, which, as I mentioned earlier, you can catch overflow and throw an exception. And I've started incorporating that into fixed point as well, so that you have much safer values. At that point, I need to hand over to Robert. And do you want to get set up?
Okay.
So it might be a good time to take questions, particularly about fixed point, if anyone's curious.
It.
Yes.
So when you specify the exponent in the fixed point template, what is the meaning of a positive exponent?
Oh, good question. The question is, what does a positive exponent represent? There's no reason not to have a positive exponent, and when you do, you get a number that is larger than the integer storing it, rather than smaller. So, for instance, say I had an exponent with positive 10, and I could use that to represent kilobytes. And so a value of 1 would represent 1 kilobyte. I would be losing precision. I couldn't represent individual bits. Another example, if exponent was set to positive 1, then I could only represent even numbers. Does that make sense? So, there is no reason to just fixate on the fractional. You can have a negative number of fractional digits in a fixed point number. It's not used that often. Usually they are used to represent fractions, but in no way is that necessary at all.
So I'll just comment. I think in light of the fact that you can use positive exponents, the decision to use the argument that way with negative numbers
negative.
In the fraction is perfectly justified.
Okay, great. Thanks. Hi, yes.
On the slide where you were discussing template argument with the boost multi-precision library, you said that when you don't have a sufficient amount of bits, you widen it?
That's correct.
So how do you do that? Do you store like an array of this type?
It's a little bit detailed that I haven't really got into, but there is a I define a type called set width, and you can it's like a template type, and one of the arguments is the value which you wish to widen, and another argument is the number of bits you wish to widen it to, and you can get a widened value out as a result, and so yes, it takes the int 128 there and the value 800, and produces its result. It's a struct with a member type which has the widened value in it, and unfortunately you need to specialize that for the types that you're going to use with a fixed point. That's one of the necessary bits of plumbing to get that to work. Okay. Yes.
Is there a way to create elastic integer from some constant, and so that elastic integer automatically detects the required bits? For example, I write down 200, and I want to create an elastic integer that can keep that 200 number.
I have done some work towards this. I can with whole numbers, I can pass them in as a template parameter and get back a type that's big enough to store that. But I would really like to take a look at user-defined literals and see just whether I can extract from a string maybe or a number, whether I can extract from that template parameters for the fixed point type. Basically what Boost Hannah does. I've got to look into how Louis does that and try and figure that out.
It's like a table
of charts. that's on the backlog of many 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 tasks involved related to this.
So when you specify the exponent in the fixed point template, what is the meaning of a positive exponent?
Oh, good question. The question is, what does a positive exponent represent? There's no reason not to have a positive exponent, and when you do, you get a number that is larger than the integer storing it rather than smaller. So for instance, say I had an exponent with positive 10, and I could use that to represent kilobytes. And so a value of 1 would represent 1 kilobyte. Now, I would be losing precision. I couldn't represent individual bits. Another example, if exponent was set to positive 1, then I could only represent even numbers. Does that make sense? So there is no reason to just fixate on the fractional. You can have a negative number of fractional digits in a fixed point number. It's not used that often. Usually they are used to represent fractions, but in no way is that necessary at all.
So I'll just comment. I think in light of the fact that you can use positive exponents,
mm-hmm.
the decision to use the argument that way with negative numbers negative. And fraction mm-hmm. is perfectly justified.
Okay, great, thanks. Hi, yes.
On the slide where you were discussing embed argument with the boost multi-precision library,
mm-hmm.
you said that when you don't have a sufficient amount of bits, you widen it?
That's correct.
So how do you do that? Do you store like an array of this type?
It's a little bit detailed that I haven't really got into, but there is a I define a type called set width, and you can it's like a template type, and one of the arguments is the value which you wish to widen, and another argument is the number of bits you wish to widen it to, and you can get a widened value out as a result, and so yes, it takes the int 128 there and the value 800 and produces its result. It's a struct with a member type which has the widened value in it. And unfortunately, you need to specialize that for the types that you're going to use with a fixed point. That's one of the necessary bits of plumbing to get that to work. Okay. Yes.
Is there a way to create elastic integer from some constant and so that elastic integer automatically detects the required bits? For example, I write down 200 and mm-hmm. I want to create an elastic integer that can keep that 200 number.
I have done some work towards this. I can with whole numbers, I can pass them in as a template parameter and get back a type that's big enough to store that. But I would really like to take a look at user-defined literals and see just whether I can extract from a string maybe or a number, whether I can extract from that template parameters for the fixed point type. Basically what Boost HANA does. I've got to look into how Louis does that and try and figure that out.
It's like a table
of charts. that's on the backlog of many 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 tasks involved related to this. Yes. Sorry, I've already overrun by quite a bit. So,
maybe you should continue. It's already, I've got probably 5 minutes horsing around, so I think maybe...
Oh, yes, no, I'm, yeah, I mean, yeah, by all means, get going with the AV, and, yeah.
Okay, are we ready?
Okay. All right, were there any other questions, anything else?
Are you stalling?
Yes, correct.
So what concept?
The question was, am I stalling for time? yes.
What concepts would you use
I feel like Robert would be the best person to ask about that because he keeps reminding me that I'm not really stipulating what types are valid as the rep type, for instance, and I really need to start making it clear that I can't just pass a std string in as the rep type. That's just not going to work. I haven't really looked into what might be useful with concepts, either formal concepts or the
concept.
Right. But certainly it would make it clear what types are and are not suitable for use. For instance, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different operators. If your reptile doesn't have plus operator plus, then you can't add fixed point that uses it. For instance,
so it's really magic here.
It's on a per case basis largely, but being copyable is probably
the PowerPoint
just to begin with. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, I'm curious if you're familiar with the UNUM, universal number type that's been proposed. It kind of seems like it would generalize floating point and fixed point numbers, and it's got dynamic width and some other features.
Yes. Okay, the question is, what do I think of the UNUM type? That's the one where I believe the type itself is actually variable sized.
Yeah.
Is that okay. Right? So, well, straight away, I mean, that's a whole nother that's a whole nother ball game, really. I mean, having something that's variable sized like that, it is quite, I'd imagine it's quite difficult to actually work with it when it's in machine registers. It's particularly great for representing numbers, serializing them, and in an efficient manner, but for performing arithmetic, I'm not sure if it's as practical. But certainly, converting to and from UNUM and fixed point would probably be something that would be useful to anybody using UNUM. Yeah. I think, yeah. But that's as far as I've looked at that. Okay. Okay, but this will probably be the last question.
Well, I don't know. You can take your time at the rate we're going. Sure. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. We did. Yeah, let's make this the last one.
There you are. And just
okay.
Start that over.
Fixed point number for is that all of the assignments of whatever the archetype that you pass in is.
Correct. Yes. For things where there's a parameter that's the archetype, the sign dictates the signage, and also the rep type of fixed point. If the signage there also obviously determines the signage, and in that way, it's a good way to convey in a familiar way roughly what the capabilities are of the fixed point or elastic type that you're going to use is.